listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and have told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Reading from God's holy word as we find it in Psalm 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of the truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. So far we read God's word. Let's give thanks for it and pray that we'll have understanding of it. Pray that we'll see these things fulfilled in our time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come through him who is one with thee, God, who became a man, that he might be one with us and take our place, bearing our sin on the cross. We pray, Father, that each one of us may know both the need of it and the blessing of it, that we may know that without the shedding of blood there is no remission, that we may know and be taught by your word, Father, that we are guilty, and we may know that our guilt can be taken away through and because of Christ. We pray, Father, that this message might be made known to all the world. We pray that it might be made known in power to many, and that, like at Thessalonica, they might hear that word and come to much assurance to believing it. We pray, Father, that the church might be revived with it, believing it itself, and then making it known, being made one in that truth, so the world will know, Father, that thou hast sent Christ, seeing the change in the church first. We pray also for our homes, that they might be changed and brought to repentance, to reconciliation with thee and with each other. We pray for the children in the troubled homes. We pray for those in sickness and injury and hunger and homelessness, the war-torn lands, the sorrowing, the aged. Every need, Father, we bring before thee through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We have considered the message of Christ with the Father, as we saw it in Psalm 2, where we read of the Lord and his anointed. We also saw from Psalm 110 the words of David stating, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Here we read about the Lord Jesus described as being blessed by God, and then being told, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Paul refers to both this and also Psalm 2 when he writes to the church of the Hebrews. He writes there that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And then describing Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And again, "He bringeth in the firstborn into the world, and saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Here we see Paul referring to the references in the Old Testament, what God the Father said of Christ his Son. Also God. Verse 8 again of Hebrews 1, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This is truth. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He is, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took on himself the form of a man, and then humbled himself to the death of the cross. Yes, it was a humbling experience for Christ, but then we read Paul's words, therefore hath God exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Your knee will bow to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, given the name Jesus here on earth for the reason that the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. And he does that both by becoming a man and dying, and as the Son of God, being prophet, priest, and king, can make us believe, bring us to believe, as he describes himself in one part of Scripture, comparing himself with the shepherd, goes out and finds the one sheep that is lost, puts it on his shoulder, brings it back. That's what the Lord Jesus does with us, teaching us, turning us. He did that especially with Paul, speaking from heaven and saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The answer was from Saul, who later became Paul, who art thou, Lord? Recognizing him as Lord, that voice speaking from heaven, the Holy Spirit opening his heart, changing Paul here on earth when Christ was speaking from heaven. And it is the Lord Jesus' work. He said to Ananias, he is my witness, as well as making Paul his little child. And then saying the next statement, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord Jesus simply told him, go to Damascus, and I'll be told you what to do. And he was taught by Christ from then on. Sometimes the Lord Jesus speaking directly when he was in under the danger of being killed. Jerusalem at one time, the Lord Jesus says, be of good cheer. You've been a witness to me here, and you'll also be a witness at Rome, which he later was. All these things are in the hands of Christ, as he said before he left this earth, after dying, rising again. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Think again of what we read from Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, no days following, no other prophet, though there may be those who want to usurp the place and say they have taken the place and they are the later prophets, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of not some things, but all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He is the Creator. That's why he could say to John in the book of Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Was, is, and is to come. As Paul, writing to the Hebrews later in that epistle, stated, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. As I said a little while ago, shortly before the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, after his resurrection, he gave the apostles instruction what to do and how to bring the message. It's recorded in Matthew, recorded in Mark, recorded in Luke, more particularly in John, to Peter to feed his sheep. But in Matthew we read that they were to bring the gospel, to teach, to preach, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then stating, as we already said, all power over everything. He had the power to create the world. And as we also read in Hebrews, upholds all things by the word of his power. Right now, this world, this earth, is held in the atmosphere where it is, surrounded by water, surrounded by air, held up by his power. The clouds are kept there by his power, surrounding it all the way around. We might think some of it's on the bottom, but it's not. You can fly east around the world, around the earth. You can fly west around the earth. When you come to the other side, you won't be upside down. You'll find the water much the same as we do here. On this round earth, created, spoken into existence by God, by Christ, you and I, only because of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. When God said, let us make man. Plural. One God manifested in three persons. And the one we're talking about here, that we read from Psalm 145, and Paul repeating much the same words as he wrote to the Hebrew Christians, beginning that epistle, Hebrews, with much of these words, he could say, of Christ, all these wonderful things, and thy majesty riding prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. There are those who are enemies who are dying. They may not realize that Christ is gone. They may be under a terrible delusion, even as God said it would take place, of those who do not want to believe the truth. Christ is the truth, and he taught the truth, and he will fulfill the truth of every prophecy, including the one we said. Every knee shall bow. Over and over, we have it. And we can see it all through Scripture, even in his crucifixion. We might think he was helpless, but over and over he would say that the Scripture might be fulfilled. What Isaiah prophesied was fulfilled in his crucifixion. What David wrote, Psalm 22, was fulfilled in his crucifixion. All written long before. Isaiah writing 700 years before Christ took on him the form of a man. David writing 1,000 years before Christ became a man. The one of whom Micah the prophet, about the same time as Isaiah, said, whose goings forth have been of old. He will be born in Bethlehem. And he was. Those 2,000 and some years ago. Born as a little baby of the Virgin Mary. As Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. He also said what names he would be given. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And one day, as we read in Psalm 45, all of his enemies will be subdued. All of his enemies that have not bowed the knee in grace, in repentance, in faith, in love, will bow the knee under judgment. Now he is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Those that have not believed when he comes back and he returns will face, as we read in Revelation, the wrath of the Lamb. It's all true. If you don't believe it's true, begin to read the scripture that describes you, describes others, and it describes us perfectly, fully, absolutely. Many people don't believe it. They won't believe that we're as sinful as we are. They won't believe the words of Christ when he said, "Everyone that does evil hates the light." But about 3 years later, they proved it. They crucified him. The Gentile ruler, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders were the worst. The leaders who should have known the best from the scriptures, what God had told them about the coming of Christ. Sadly, even as Paul could say later, they fulfilled the scriptures in condemning him. And going back to what I said a moment ago, the scripture describes us. That's one reason I know that the scripture is true. Other people may make us worse than we are or better than we are, like the politicians are doing of each other and of themselves. Much of it simply lies. I read of some that describe both those who aspire to be president. They make one very bad, another one very good, when they're much alike, very much alike. As Paul said, are we better than they? And his answer is, in no wise we have together become unprofitable. We can say that together as nations, your nation and mine, have become unprofitable before God. Everyone that I know. There are some that are less wicked than others, but there is none that are really right and good. There are some that come closer to the truth in establishing righteous ways, going against evil ways. And our nation is terrible, killing our babies in their mother's womb, killing them, tearing them apart, stabbing them in what they call partial birth abortion. And one of those who aspires to be our leader is very wicked, wanting to do it to the full, wanting other countries to do it as well. A murderer. The murderers in Congress, in the White House, in the Supreme Court, in the voting booth. Many will vote for those that want to kill the children unborn in their mother's womb and partially born. Terrible way. Awful. 3,000 a day, 1 million a year. And we call it right, our right, before the Son of God sitting on the throne. We make our plans, but as we saw in Psalm 2, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He will have them in derision. And as we saw last from Proverbs 1, he says, when your fear cometh, then they will call, and I will mock. There are probably People calling today in some countries, where is God? Where is my help? He has called and he has warned that when it's too late, as we see again and again and again, partially because he says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We will have a harder heart tomorrow and the next day and the next than we do today if we don't listen to God in the church and in the world, both. The church needs to be brought to repentance. The church needs to be humbled, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, telling them they were puffed up, as Christ ordered John to write to the church at Laodicea, saying, you say you are rich and in need of nothing, but you're poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. That's where the church is today in our nation. Some may be more true to the word and be suffering and being persecuted for it, but not here. We're a salt that have lost its savor. We're not recognizing Christ as we should. When he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, to the church, not to the world first, to the church. And we can shut him out in many different ways, even thinking we have the door open, thinking we have him, but not seeing him as he is, as Lord, as God, as the Anointed One, as the Everlasting Father with the Father. We need to believe like the Ethiopian eunuch did when Philip was sent to him and he was reading from Isaiah. He says, understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I except some man interpret to me? And he preached Jesus to him from Isaiah. And then the Ethiopian eunuch said, what hath hindered me baptized? And he says, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must believe that. And everyone must believe it. Because he is. And everyone that doesn't believe it will be punished by him. Those that do believe it will be saved by him. And the church can be revived by him and the home as well.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.